going to be coming from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17. And one verse, I'm going to be looking at verse 26. And this is how the word of God does read. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined the appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. You may be seated. I'm going to use this speech by the Apostle Paul to the Athenian believers, this verse 26, to speak on the topic, what are you waiting for? Father in heaven, this morning, give glory to thy holy name. Father, we now pray that thou will make thy word and thy will known to thy people this morning. Bless both the preaching as well as the hearing of thy word. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Church, amen. 60 minutes, 24 hours. 366 days, there's a leap year. If I were to ask you to name the common denominator among those numbers, all of you will probably say time. And you are all absolutely correct. Those numbers are indicative of time. But they're also indicative of something that we often don't consider. That is boundaries. You only have 24 hours in a day to do all you have to do. You can't get an extra minute added to that 24 hours. You only have 365 days or 66 days to achieve every purpose that you have set for the year. You cannot get an extra day added to those year boundaries. When we view our physical bodies, what we often think from a spiritual perspective is that we have been created in the likeness of God. And as David will say, we have been fearfully and wonderfully made. And you're correct. But again, when you begin to look at the body of our physical body, there is something that we often don't think about. And that is the notion of boundary that God has chiseled into this physical body of ours, all kinds of boundaries. You cannot stay up indefinitely without sleep. No, our bodies will break down because we need sleep. You cannot consume endlessly. 24/7, 48 hours eating and eating. Your stomach has got a limit to what you can take. So we can see that God has chiseled into his creation boundaries. And that is what the Apostle Paul captures in Acts chapter 17, verse 26. He said, he has made from one every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth and have determined the appointed times and the boundaries of the habitation. So it is obvious that God has deemed boundary necessary in his relationship with his creation. Unfortunately, what God deemed necessary in his relationship with his creation, most of us don't implement in the relationship with one another. Evan had the privilege as a pastor of over two decades to mediate between individuals that are in conflict. One thing I've noticed in my many years of mediation is that at the root of most relational struggles is either the lack of boundaries or if there is any, the violation of boundaries. When betrayal happens in a relationship, the impetus is usually a violation of boundary or a lack of boundary. When a relationship experiences all kinds of abuse, the impetus is usually boundary related, whether a lack of boundary or a violation of boundary. Even in a larger group setting, like a workplace, when there is any form of leadership impropriety, when you look real close, those improprieties happen because of a lack of boundary or a violation of former boundary. So in essence, it is the violation of boundary or a lack of boundaries that usually open the gate and allow the infiltration of all kinds of dysfunctionality into human relationships. You didn't hear what I just said. That the struggle you're having in your human relationship, at the root of most of it, is an issue with boundary. And it goes without saying that healthy human relationships require healthy boundaries. And healthy boundaries just doesn't happen. It takes, first of all, articulation, and second, intentionality. So this morning, what I want to do is to kind of explore this biblical concept called boundaries. I believe it's a road that is less traveled. Many don't talk about it. Now, as a preamble, let me first set in context the definition. What exactly are boundaries? Boundaries, by definition, are parameters that define limitations. You want to write that down. They are parameters that define limitations. Your limitations, as well as the limitations of others. You know, I don't have a privacy fence in my home, and my neighbor does not have one either. But there is an unofficial boundary line that exists between my house and his house. So when I watch my neighbor through the window and he gets on his riding lawnmower to cut his grass, he always stays within the limit of that unofficial line. Sometimes I wish he could just go over it and help me cut my grass. But he always stays within the limits of that boundary. The same goes for me. Though I love my neighbor as myself, but when I get on my riding lawnmower, I stay within the parameters of my own boundary. This is precisely what boundary means. You have to know the limits you have, and you have to respect the limits of others. Can I get an amen? You got to define your own limits, and you got to respect the limits of others. Dr. Henry Cloud, in his book, Boundaries, put this well. He said, boundaries define us. They define what is me and what is not me. A boundary shows me where I end and where someone else began, leading me to a sense of ownership. Now, someone might say to me, wait a minute, Pastor Wally. Does this concept of boundary violate the biblical teaching of love? Since the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing from selfishness of empty conceit, but with humility of mind, each one of you regard one another as more important than the other. So, Pastor Wally, does it violate that concept of biblical love? Well, boundaries are not established to promote self-love. I want you to think what I'm saying now. We don't establish boundaries to promote self-love. But we establish boundaries to promote self-care and accountability. Self-care and accountability. So you might say, exactly what is self-care? Being as a matter of first importance, you being in a right mind, physically, emotionally, and mentally, before you attempt to help somebody else. You got to watch what I just said now. You first have to be right mentally to be useful to somebody else. If you are in an ocean and you can't swim, how can you rescue someone else that is drowning? That is the concept of self-care. It is being able to now look at yourself, understand your own limitation, define your own limitations, and be able now, based on that, to be able to be useful to somebody else. That is why you understand and set boundaries. What am I capable of doing? I can fly, so guess what? I can't help you fly. There's a second part to boundary, which has to do with accountability. You know, in a place where there is no rules, people do whatever they want to do, whatever they feel like doing. There is zero accountability. But where there comes rules, there comes responsibility. And with responsibility comes accountability. That is precisely what boundaries are intended to do, to promote responsibility and accountability. One writer says this. He said, when we fail to set boundaries and hold people accountable, we feel used and mistreated. Many of you know this. Because when we fail to hold people accountable, we feel resentment because we can't say no. Every time they say do something, we go ahead and do it. And beneath, we have this passive-aggressive anger because we can't just say no. We don't hold people accountable. That is why it is important to understand the concept of boundary. Self-care and accountability. Hold people accountable for their rest, for what they're responsible for. Don't take it on yourself. So with that settled, let's turn to what I call developing healthy boundaries. How do I go about developing healthy boundaries? You want to write this down. First of all, begin with the law of permission. The law of permission. Give yourself the permission to establish healthy boundaries. You know, one of the greatest stumbling blocks to boundaries of any kind is a combination of fear and guilt. We always are afraid of how people will perceive our boundaries, how others will feel about our boundaries. And we're always confronted with these questions when we want to put our boundary. Am I being too mean when I say no? Did I hurt their feelings when I said that? What if they don't love me anymore? When you are bogged down by this kind of fear and guilt, you will never be able to establish boundary, not to talk about healthy boundaries. That is why many of us are people pleasers. On the contrary, metaphorically, you have to give yourself permission to establish healthy boundaries. You have to, first of all, begin to remember that principle of self-care. I am no good to nobody if I don't know who I am and what I'm able to do. I'm not good to nobody else. And you must also realize, and I like this as the writer puts it. He said, I set boundary not to offend you, but to respect you. To respect myself. You know, you got to understand what that means. The reason you set boundaries is to not only to respect somebody, but to respect yourself. You got to be bold enough to give yourself the permission. Job gave himself permission to establish boundaries, healthy boundaries. Job 31 and 1, he said this, I've made a covenant with my eyes not to lustfully look at a young woman. What is Job saying? Job is saying, listen, I've given myself permission. I've given myself an ultimatum. I've given myself this prohibition that I will not look lustfully at nobody. David himself in Psalm 101 verse 3 gave himself this permission when he said this, I will set no unworthy thing before my eyes. I will hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. The law of permission. Give yourself the permission to make healthy boundaries. There's a second thing right here. How do I develop healthy boundaries? The law of responsibility. You want to write that down? Know what you are responsible for and what you are not responsible for. How do I set healthy boundaries? Know what you are responsible for and what you are not responsible for. God has not made you to be all things to all people. You need to know that. You are not Superman. You are not Superwoman. You won't fulfill all the needs and cares and pain of all brothers in this world. You have to have that clear understanding. Your sphere of influence might be very this little area. That is your responsibility. You are not responsible to save people. You are responsible to share the gospel. The law of responsibility. As a parent with toddlers, you are responsible to take care of them. That means to feed them, to clothe them, to teach them. So what you do is that you set healthy boundaries around those responsibilities. I got to go to job. I got to find a babysitter. You got to know what you got to do at what time. You set healthy boundaries based on those responsibilities. But then when they become young adults and they begin to make their own decisions, living their own lives, you are no longer responsible for them. You are now responsible to them. Pay attention to what I just said. You are no longer responsible for them. You are responsible to them. In what form? You are responsible to now respect their decision. And that is how you now construct healthy boundaries based on that responsibility. When they got a job and they get paid and they decide to blow their paycheck one day, it is not your responsibility to rescue them. You respect them. You spend it. You got to figure out you got to live the next couple of weeks. The problem with us is that we are rescuers. We take on other people's responsibility. You cannot set yourself on fire so that other people will be warm. You can't do that. The most mistake we make is that we try to always rescue them. If they go out there and get somebody pregnant and they don't have no money for diapers, it is not your responsibility. Oh, Pastor, well, that's my grandbaby. No! It's your grandbaby, hallelujah, anyhow. You've raised yours, they got to raise theirs. They have to understand what is their responsibility. Those are what it means to know exactly what you are responsible for, what you are not responsible for. Why many of us are so stressed out with the kids and issues is that we bear upon ourselves all these issues with everybody else, and we get away now. You say, somebody say, this person is going on. That is your problem right there. Define your boundaries. Healthy responsibility means that, listen, bring them for 2 hours and take them home. That is your responsibility. When you fail in the law of responsibility, you cannot make healthy boundaries. And many parents today don't make healthy boundaries because they fail to understand responsibility. You will feel used. You will set them up for failure also. And many of us got kids living at home 40 years old. They don't want to move out of nowhere. They have babies. We put them in the basement. And because we're a single parent, they are like fathers and husbands, and we just don't want them to go. And we think we're doing a big parent. No, you are not. Your boundaries are faulty. And you need to fix that. They need to leave. They need to find a way to fix it. Because if you're not here, they will. The third law of healthy boundaries. The law of expectation. Don't set boundaries on fairy tales. Pay attention to what I just said. Don't try to set healthy boundaries on fairy tales. Set healthy boundaries that you understand that there's going to be a realistic expectation. Let me give you a few realistic expectations of your healthy boundary. Be prepared to disappoint people. Don't expect people to embrace your boundaries with open arms. People will resist your boundary. Realistic expectation. They will try to make you feel guilty. I thought you were a good parent. I hate you. You don't care about me. They won't respect your boundary. Realistic expectation. They will talk about you in the church. They will demonize you. They will say all kinds of stuff. They'll slander you. Those are realistic expectations. You got to be realistic. They will not receive your boundaries. And there will be people that will want to make you feel bad and want to make you explain why you're doing what you're doing. Resist the urge to explain your boundary or to make excuses for them. Just give people what you want and what you don't want. And if they like it, so be it. If they don't like it, hallelujah, anyhow. The second realistic expectation is this. Be prepared to live with your own decision. I tell you what. Healthy boundaries might protect you, but then you got to live with the consequences of those healthy boundaries. If they choose not to talk to you again, they deny you access to your grandbabies. They do all this stuff to make you fall. Those are realistic expectations. Because they're trying to break your resistance. But you got to be able to live with yourself. If you throw them out, sleep at night. You might say, Pastor Wally, listen, I can't sleep. I'm turning and turning. I just threw them out. Can I bring them back in? Be prepared to live with your decision. Prepare to live with the boundaries that you set. Be prepared to live with it. When you're prepared to live with it, then you are going to stand on that healthy boundary that you've set. But many of us, when we do that and bulldoze everything, then we come soft. And when we relent, they know that they will come again and you will relent. Be prepared to leave. That is a realistic expectation. There is pain involved sometimes. At times you have to care sometimes. The prodigal, the son, the father of the prodigal son, he's prepared to leave by that expectation. He allowed him to go. But you could know there's pain because he probably was coming every morning looking over the horizon. You know, there was a yearning for his son, a yearning for his own, for his second son to come home. He felt this pain within his heart, but he never went out there looking for him. He was willing to live with the decision he made. And when God was ready for him, God brought him home. And in your realistic expectation, when God is ready for your child, when God is ready for your husband, because you got husbands that play the field, you got to throw them out. Oh, y'all don't like me saying that. If you break your covenant, you suffer the consequences for it. Oh, yes, go to counseling. But if they don't change, let the Lord deal with them out there. But when they come back home, walk through the process of reconciliation so that the healing can take place. Because the Lord knows how to make a man and to break a man. This morning, I tender to you the biblical teaching about boundaries. Don't wait a minute. Establish for yourself healthy boundaries. No is a complete statement. You can never say yes well until you know how to say no. And don't feel bad about it. Because you understand the principle of accountability. What are you waiting for? Our Father and our God, this morning I commit to thee, Father, this unique principle and teaching of boundaries. Thou hast taught us in thy word that thou hast deemed it necessary that, Father, you deal with us with boundaries. The question is that why can't God just allow us to do everything? Thou infinite and wise God understood that boundaries was essential in any relationship. And this morning I pray for everyone under my voice that, Father, they will be just like you. Oh yes, they will love each other perfectly, but yet we will still set boundaries of accountability, boundaries of expectations, so that we can act in a way that honors and glorifies thy name. I commit to thee this morning, the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name I pray. And it just say, amen.